And Terrell Alvin McCraney's brother-sister plays, The Real and Personal, are combined with the mythical Yoruban stories the playwright grew up with. In this trilogy, being performed at the Public Theater through December 13th, family relationships, friendships, and sexual identity are told in ways that evoke ancient mythic poetry. And joining me now are Andre Holland, one of the actors in the plays, and Robert O'Hara, who directed two of the three. I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show today. Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Andre, aren't you a friend of Mr. McCraney's?
I am. We've been friends for about 3.5 years now.
I've heard that he's out of the country. Doesn't he usually like to sit in the back row during performances?
He does. Well, mostly during rehearsals. He'll sit in the back row, and from time to time he'll get up and do exercises or staging with us just to have fun.
So where is he now?
He's in Stratford-upon-Avon. He's the writer in international writer in residence at the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Well, I think that's a good reason to be there. Robert, have these plays been performed in the past?
Well, you know, this is a co-production with the Public Theater, so they were performed at the McCarter Theater this spring, I believe. And so this production was performed, and then we moved it to the public. So In the Red and Brown was performed before it was part of the trilogy, and Brother Sias, of course, has been performed several times all over the country before it was part of the trilogy. This is Marcus's world premiere, though, and the trilogy's world premiere.
And they're intended, obviously, as standalones.
Yes.
Two of them are performed on one night and the other on another night because the two are shorter than the third one?
I think it's just the way that it's sort of like you can do three nights or whatever, but I think it's the way that it sort of made itself out and that we have an intermission in the first play, which is In the Red and Brown, and so it feels like two sections of a play. And this, I do Marcus and Brother Sias as two one acts, so that's why it's performed on one night.
And you're directing two of the plays?
Yes.
But not all three?
No. Tina Landau has directed In the Red and Brown.
Was it just too much of a project to do all three?
No. I know that Tina had already directed a production of In the Red and Brown that was spectacular in Atlanta at the Alliance Theater, and I know Terrell wanted to work with her again. So.
Well, is this kind of like rep in a way, Andre, because you're preparing for several different characters to be performed in the same night?
Well, it is. It's what I imagine the sort of old school repertory style theater would have been like. You know, so I played two different characters, really. One character, Legba, who as a young man, and then in Brother Sias as a sort of older adult. And then in the third play, I play Legba's son, Marcus. So it does feel a bit like a rep style, although it's kind of the same lineage, so it makes it a little bit easier.
There are parallels between the three characters.
Absolutely.
The plays are steeped in Yoruban religion. Well, outside of Africa, I usually associate that with Cuban and Brazilian religious traditions. How much of a Yoruban culture exists in this country?
I really can answer that. I mean, Terrell can answer that. I know that from the two plays I directed, I didn't really deal in that way because it was an African-American adaptation of sort of myth. And so I wanted to make it very real and very naturalistic. I don't really know what Tina's process was, but I know Terrell has used that a lot in these trilogies.
Well, he set it in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. He's from Miami.
Yes.
Miami is a city where there are a lot of Cuban emigres,
yes.
And Santeria is around.
Absolutely.
I am curious about how he makes that connection because to a large degree, he was also influenced by August Wilson, wasn't he? Didn't he work with August Wilson?
Yeah, he was August's assistant, I think, when they were working on Radio Golf for a short time. So he was very influenced by that. And I know that he's spoken before about growing up in Miami and being in contact with some, you know, practitioners of Santeria and Lukumi. I think that he wants the place to sort of have flex of that in there, but I don't think that that's the sort of epicenter of the play. You know, he wants it to feel naturalistic and everyday.
He has named these characters after the various Yoruban gods.
Yes. And I think those are sort of like, you know, hints and examples, and it helps us to sort of like dive into the characters, but it does not necessarily mean that they are those characters, you know.
For your character, Andre, Marcus in Marcus or The Secret of Sweet, the play is a sort of coming-of-age story, both in terms of maturity and coming to terms with sexuality. How much did you identify with the story? Was it difficult for you to put yourself into this character's circumstances?
Not really. I mean, it took me a while to figure out what the sort of spine of it was, but I feel like for me, what the way in is loneliness. I feel like it's, you know, for both Legba and his son Marcus, it's about the desire to not be alone, to avoid loneliness. And so that's a feeling that I'm very familiar with. And so it made it a lot easier to sort of get inside.
But, of course, you could play somebody who's totally opposite from yourself, or else you're not a good actor, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
There seem to be some parallels between McCraney and the characters of his plays. Although he denies they're biographical, he grew up in housing projects. He's gay, as several of the characters in the trilogy are as well. Mm-hmm. What's your sense, Robert?
Well, you know, I'm a writer as well, and so I think if a playwright says it has nothing to do with them, then it has nothing to do with them.
You take all writers at their words?
Exactly. I think that, you know, there is a lot of Terrell in the play, spread out. His sort of humor, his love of language is in there, and his audacity, you know, to stand up in the face of, you know, the trauma that has been in his life, you know. So there are several of those parallels in the play.
Well, there are obvious challenges for both the director and an actor in this, because of some of the stylistic choices that happen mm-hmm. in the writing. For example, the characters often directly address the audience, reciting mm-hmm. their own stage directions. Mm-hmm. For example, Ogun Saiz enters.
Right.
This is not a naturalistic device, and, mm-hmm. and yet you have directed them as relatively naturalistic plays.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting because the first two plays operate differently than the last play in that the actors actually step out, not the characters, but the actors step out of characters and announce
these
their
are not
choices.
These are not the same sorts of things as Shakespeare suddenly
exactly.
having a character speak to the
right.
audience.
Right, but in Marcus it is. Marcus is the only character in the entire trilogy that speaks as the character, Marcus. To the audience. The rest of the actors step outside of their characters and tell the audience a part of the storytelling device, you know, and people have asked, you know, why is that? And I say, you know, it's because that's the way we tell theater, you know, actors enters and their exits, you know, and so he uses the language of theater, you know, if it was a film, it was that actors dissolve or the scene dissolves, you know, so that's.
So he is really making it obvious to us that this is theater. This is
yes.
not a little slice of life.
Well, he is inviting the theater and the audience into the experience. And he always says that it is not something to sort of like distance yourself. It is to invite the audience into the storytelling of the play.
Well, how does that work for the actor? Because you're suddenly stepping out of character at the same time that you're remaining in character.
To me, it's wonderful. It's actually one of the most amazing. It's scary at first, but it's one of the most amazing things. I'm from the South, like Terrell, and it reminds me a lot of being in church. You know, when the preacher would say, be in the middle of the sermon, and say, well, somebody say amen.
Mm.
You know, no, somebody ought to be in here with me. Say amen, you mm-hmm. know. And before you know it, you as an audience member are caught up in the story and in the experience of church, and you become a part of it. And as an actor, it feels like that. It feels like the audience is actually coming along with me every night.
It's also another way of addressing the whole matter of storytelling,
yes.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, we begin the two plays I directed by the actors actually acknowledging each other as actors before they tell the story of the play. And that was very important so that you feel like it is a part of an experience that you're about to share with the audience.
Well, mm-hmm. it's kind of interesting. These days, I think most writing teachers are no longer saying show, don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
But this is
mm-hmm.
an obvious example of tell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not in a Brechtian way, although Brecht would have done the same thing. Obviously, the playwright is influenced by people like Bertolt Brecht.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think, you know, he is a playwright who has a very distinct voice, and his characters and the actors that play them have very distinct personalities, and that shows through. So when you do say Ogun enters, you still are sort of acting in a way. Even if you're stepping outside of the character, you still have a sort of take on that line, actually.
My guests are Robert O'Hara, who directed two of the three brother-sister plays that are currently at the Public Theater running through the 13th of this month. Also, Andre Holland, who plays a number of the characters in the plays. How much did you and Tina Landau, the other director, work together? Did you try to come up with some kind of a cohesive approach?
Absolutely not. We did not have anything to do with each other, really, and we were sort of excited about that. We shared the same designers and the same theater and the same actors. And so
So the look of the plays is the same?
The look of the plays, it's sort of... It changes as you go through the play. For instance, Tina has a very sort of clean and white palette. And then I do Brother Size, and it's sort of a very sort of earth tones, browns and blues. And then in Marcus, it is a sort of cavalcade of color and bright colors, you know. So that is not really something that we talked about either. Maybe the designers got together and said, let's fix this. But Tina and I actually did not communicate on that level. I think the plays themselves communicated on that level.
So how much of what we see is a directorial choice? Because in the past, McCraney, I heard, liked to get really involved in the production of the plays.
Mm. Well, he has very few stage directions, really. I mean, basically, they enter and they exit. And so most of his stage directions are in the play, but it comes out of pure storytelling. So a lot of it came out of the actors and out of the sort of situation that we were put in. He is very involved, and I like playwrights to be very involved, but he understands that one's a director and one's a playwright.
Andre, you've known McCraney for years, you say, mm-hmm. but have you performed in other plays?
Yeah, I was in The Red and Brown Water in Atlanta, the production mm-hmm. that Tina directed, and I've done several readings and workshops, and I was actually with him in Stratford not long ago working on a couple of new things that he's tinkering around with.
So and how involved does he get? Does he have specific visions in terms of staging?
Not really. I mean, he says at the beginning of pretty much everything he writes, a fast and loose play. Mm-hmm. And so I think he means it to be loose, and he's as interested in what people outside of it can bring to it as he is in what he has to, you know, to offer.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think connects these three plays? I mean, other than they are about members of the same family.
Well, you know, there's certain things that connect. I mean, there's water in all three plays. There's a sort of brotherly and sisterly love in all three plays. And there's a sort of a question of sexuality, not just what your sexuality is, but how do you express your sexuality in all three plays. That connects it. And it's sort of like, you know, it's set in a place called Saint-Péray.
Mm-hmm.
Saint-Péray.
In the distant present.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so whatever that means.
There are no fathers in the entire trilogy. There is no character that is a father. People are searching for fathers in the trilogy, and people are talking about a father, but there are no fathers, and I find that to be really sort of fascinating.
And as we said earlier, Yoruban mythology mm-hmm. is also permeates the plays, although you say it's not it doesn't determine much about them. But it that adds a certain kind of a universality to
absolutely.
It,
absolutely. It adds a certain, you know, everyday quality in that these are people who you can relate to. I mean, we relate to our own sort of God that we, you know, created, and that what he would do and what his experiences would be. And so I think that these characters, when you say, you know, Ogun is the God of a certain thing, it can help the actor come into the space in a certain way, actually.
Now, Terrell Alvin McCraney, as you said, is at Stratford-on-Avon right now. Is he being more appreciated outside of this country than in the United States?
That's a good question.
I think he's pretty appreciated here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's developed a reputation, but when you get invited to work on something as impressive as that, it would suggest that other people are taking you quite seriously.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I think he's being taken seriously there, and I think he is here as well. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Oscar Eustace has been a fan and a proponent of his work from the very beginning, and, you know, it's a real gift that Oscar's given him to do this play.
Well, he is still very young. He's only 29 years
yes,
old,
he's 29.
Isn't he?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's quite young.
And I've been saying that the plays are running through the 13th. Actually, I gather it has been extended through the 20th?
Right, exactly.
Yes.
I was going to say.
Yes, it's been extended to the 20th. And you can see the entire trilogy on the weekends.
This is kind of like what we had with the Alan Ayckbourn plays. And
exactly.
And Tom Stoppard's plays.
Yes, exactly.
So I guess this is a new trend,
right.
If you're willing to devote a whole day.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think you can get something
but it
out
must
of
be
it.
Tiring for the actor, isn't it?
It's actually invigorating. It's actually really invigorating because you get to feel the whole story from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't wind up, you don't wind up totally exhausted at the end because you've been out there an awful lot.
Yeah, well,
would you prefer it?
Would I prefer the weekend?
No, would you prefer just always doing them three in a row?
Well, not always. I don't think anybody would be able to stand doing it always. I think the weekend marathons are enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're running through the 20th, mm-hmm. and then what are you doing?
I'm not sure. I'm actually auditioning this afternoon for something. So hopefully that'll,
well, good luck.
That'll come through.
Terrell Alvin McCraney's Brother Sister plays are now at the Public Theater. And as I said, they've been extended through the 20th. So you still have a chance to get to see them. And my great thanks to Andre Holland and Robert O'Hara for talking with us today on our show. And
thank you.
And congratulations. You
thank
have a hit on
much.
Your hands.
Wait,
three
you
hits
much.
On your hands.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you.